There are three references in the book of in Hebrews, as far as we've gotten this far, to the high priesthood of Christ. We have one reference in Hebrews 2:17, and it says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." The second reference is Hebrews 3:1. We have been exhorted to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And then the third reference so far is Hebrews 4:14. It says, "We have a great high priest," not just a high priest, "we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." So this high priest is a key component of what God has done. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 2, it dealt with angels. It dealt with angels as compared to Jesus. And they pretty much put them side by side, and there's really no comparison between Jesus and angels. And so Paul was talking, we say Paul, but it's still up in the air. Who wrote Hebrews? The Holy Ghost wrote Hebrews. So we thank God for it. Amen. And so whoever wrote Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, I'm trying to be as accurate as I can, gave us a writing about the angels and the preeminence of Christ over angels. And then Hebrews 3 and 4 talked about the preeminence of Christ over Moses and Joshua. And then here in Hebrews 5, we're going to talk here about Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood. And we will touch upon the mysterious office of Melchizedek. And maybe that's why I ran so hard from Hebrews, because of Melchizedek. I used to have an uncle who didn't care anything really about Christianity and Christians. He was just a man that just wasn't interested. And when people would start talking to him from the Bible, he said, "I'm going to ask you one question. If you answer me that one question, then I'll talk to you about the Bible." It would go. He said, "Where did Melchizedek come from?" Yeah, that was the end of the discussion right there. It's a very difficult subject. We're headed headlong into it. We're trusting God to finally reveal the truth. Melchizedek was mysterious. He appeared with Abraham. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. He was a priest of a place called Salem. So anyway, we'll get into that a little bit more, but it's about the priesthood, and those who belong to this new covenant that we're in right now, those that know Jesus as Savior, dwell in a completely new and heavenly atmosphere. It's every day. It's a new and heavenly atmosphere. You can almost not, it's almost imperceptible to you, but it is new and it is different. We worship a heavenly Savior. Not anything here. We worship a heavenly Savior. We have a heavenly calling. We have a heavenly calling. That's every day of your life. You got a heavenly calling. God can call upon you anytime during the day to do His bidding. We receive a heavenly gift. Thank God for His Spirit. We are citizens of a heavenly country. And we look forward to heavenly Jerusalem. And y'all, our names are written in heaven. Already written in heaven. In red. Amen. Now, I don't know how close that is to scripture, but I like to say in red. I will buy red hats and red shirts and red. It's symbolic to me of the blood. And I say, "Which color you want?" I say, "Give me the red one." Symbolic of the blood. So, Father, we come today to study your word again. We implore you to help us. We need help with this, Lord. This is quite an undertaking, but we know that with you all things are possible, and all things work together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. You have us here in Hebrews because you want us here in Hebrews, and you want to speak to us some of these truths that are written in this book. Thank you for your Spirit, because your Spirit is the true teacher. And I'm so glad that the Holy Ghost is here to teach us and speak to our hearts. Help me, Lord, to get out of your way so that I won't be seen or heard. Father, we do not need to hear from another man. We hear from men all the time. Lord, we need to hear from you. And Father, I also ask that you would help those that are here, that they'll also move out of the way, clear their minds of worldly ambitions and worldly concerns just for the next 20 or 30 minutes, so that we can all hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord into our hearts this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5 with me if you're not already there. The thing about the knobs on the microphone while you're turning there was last week Oliver gave us his testimony and he got up here and got excited. And he started touching these knobs over here. And I was sitting on the side. I said, Lord, I hope you don't turn that knob. And I hope you don't turn that one. He's just talking. I said, oh, my God, this microphone is about to hit the podium. But thank God he didn't turn them. He was all right. That was a beautiful testimony, brother. We thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's a blessing. We need to know each other. And I thank God for it. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Yes. Jesus not only became a man, but he received the commission from God to act on behalf of man. But every high priest that is here among men, they are ordained. They are ordained, but they are ordained by God. They are ordained in things pertaining to God, so that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, this high priest, of course, would be along the line of the Aaronic or Aaron's line of high priests, the Levitical priesthood. And the thing about this, and we'll find later that the high priests of this land, that were high priests of the land, in order for them to make gifts and sacrifices for the people, they first had to make a gift and a sacrifice for themselves, because they were just like everybody else. And so before they could make, for instance, if it was here, before I could make a gift or a sacrifice for you, I first needed to go and make one for myself. Because if I'm going to be standing before God, then I need to have my sins dealt with also. And so that means that he'd have to go first make his offerings and gifts, and then he'd come and he'd get your offerings and he'd make them for you and do it for on your stead in before God. Otherwise, these priests, that if they don't go in right, they don't walk out. Once a year. There's a day coming, y'all. It ain't here yet. But there's a day coming when these hirelings, they're not going to come up to so-called handle the word of God, because I really believe God is going to start dealing with these people whose hearts are not right before him. And there's coming a day now. Ananias and Sapphira is the type of it in the book of Acts. Probably there's a day coming that your heart has got to be right and your hands have got to be clean if you're going to talk in the stead of God. Now, for some reason, he's holding back and everything, but that's okay. But I do believe in my heart that there's a day coming. So I'm getting ready for that day. I've been getting ready for years and years and years, because I don't want them to knock me down up here. I want to be able to walk out on my own. Speaking of the high priest, as far as Jesus is concerned, it was mentioned way back in the book of in Hebrews 10:9, which states, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified, that means set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. I'm kind of giving it the way that I received it. But I'm trying to keep in contrast the difference between the earthly high priest and the heavenly high priest. And we have a heavenly high priest. But the writer here is pretty much showing the preeminence of Christ over the earthly high priest. And the reason he did it is because back in that day, and it was apparently before AD 70 when the Jerusalem was destroyed, but the Hebrew believers, those who had been converted from Judaism, was coming under a great deal of attack for their Christian faith. And some of them were thinking about going back to Judaism, because it's easier to go back there than to have these problems. At least we have a high priest functioning that we can see, and all we're getting is trouble and a hard time and being harassed. And so he's trying to, and he's coming through showing the preeminence of Christ over the things. There was another group, the Qumran group, that separated themselves from all of society. They didn't live in town. They lived out in the desert, in the caves. And they started a different kind of a group. That's why he mentioned angels, I believe. They even elevated angels to a place of worship, and were saying that some of them believe that angels excelled Christ Jesus as being worshipped. And so he addressed that in the first couple of chapters here. And so he's going through and he's pretty much disproving many of these ideas and thoughts that the people have been hit with. Now Hebrews 5:2 goes on and says, concerning this earthly high priest, who, that would be the high priest, can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. That when it says compassion, it means to reasonably bear with. That reasonably bear with means you don't look down your nose at someone else. You don't look down your nose at because someone else has a certain weakness or a certain something that they are struggling with because you're not struggling with it. To reasonably bear with. Because really, the fact is, anybody you look down on, you're not that far from them. And you'd be surprised in a week or two you find yourself faced with a similar situation than the one you're looking your nose down on. Now, I can show you that in scripture, but I can tell you that I have experienced that in my life. And it's a scary thing. Man, I can't see how in the world he let such and such happen. And turn around 2 weeks, here I am going, oh my God. I got to deal with this. Yeah, I got to deal with this. So that means, compassion means to reasonably bear with. Listen, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. We have to keep that in mind. Because you've been delivered. Everybody hadn't been delivered to your degree. And so we have to understand that there was a time everybody needs to be saved from something. If it's not from your sinful ways or the stuff that you caught up in, some people need to get saved from their goody-goodiness. I don't hurt nobody, I don't bother nobody, and I got it together. You need to be delivered from that. Amen. To have compassion, for that he himself also is compassed, as it says, or surrounded with infirmity. And infirmity is frailty that is brought about, that's caused by sin. And sin is a condition. We may talk about this one day. But sin is a condition. Sins are what come out of the condition of sin. But the first thing that needs to be dealt with is the condition called sin. And some folks think that, well, is it a sin to do this? And is it a sin to do that? And is it a sin to do that? And it's sort of like they're ticking off to see, well, if I can get away with not doing so many sins, then it tips the scale on my part, and so I'm doing so much better today, but today I sinned a lot more, so the scale is down this way, so I need to hurry up and not do this and not do this to tip the scale. It doesn't go like that. God deals with sin in a whole different kind of a way. He deals with the man of sin, the man that is made after sin. We come into this world as sinners. We are born into sin. See? And so it's the matter of sin that must be dealt with first. And thank God for Jesus that we can do that. When it says he forgives your sin, he forgives your condition of sin. That's why when he forgives the condition of sin, you become a new creature. And then old things are passed away and all things are become new. He deals with the condition of sin. That's the first thing. If the condition of sin is not first and initially dealt with, then all of your sins are not forgiven. Well, I should have got an amen.
with that.
Listen, when the condition of sin is dealt with, and you know what? I still don't get it. But I'm going to say it anyway. But when the condition of sin is dealt with, are you ready? All of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Man, we should be up. If I was in the holiness church, people would be up running around and they'd be bouncing, kicking off. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. I don't get it. You see, I don't get it. But I got it. And I'm so glad I got it. See, that don't mean you should go ahead. Well, let me go ahead on and see if I can outstand the grace of God. Don't do that. You got chastisement coming your way. God's going to get you for that. But it's just good to know that we have that. Well, amen. Verse 3 here, it says, and by reason hereof, he ought to ask other people, as I said earlier, for himself to offer for sin. Just exactly Moses told Aaron that that's what he had to do in Leviticus 9:7. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. I think it was a king by the name of Uzziah who took this honor upon himself to offer a sacrifice. He started ruling at the age of 16. And he was a very successful king. And he developed a lot of goods, and he was very successful. He was successful in war, and he amassed big armies of men. But he decided to go into the temple of God and offer sacrifices. And the priest came in with about 80 other priests. The high priest came in about 80 other priests and said, this is not for you. You shouldn't do this. And Uzziah had the nerve to get an attitude. He got mad. You're the king. This does not pertain to you. You got no business in here doing this. You should do what you are called to do. You're the king. We're the priest. He got an attitude. And they said, he watched him, and it said, leprosy formed on his forehead. Right there, an attitude with God's man, the one that's called to do it. Listen, some folks ain't got no business trying to preach the word if they don't know the word. Now, I'm not saying know the word. I mean know the word. They don't know the one that was in the beginning with God. If they don't know the word, they got no business trying to preach the word. But you got something doing it. But listen, there's trouble for them. A lot of trouble for them. Amen. Well, I don't know how I got way over there, but I made it over there anyway. Only God can designate a high priest. And his initial designation in this instance was Aaron, the brother of Moses. And it was later identified as the Levitical priesthood that came down out of Aaron. Aaron was appointed high priest to the Jewish nation. Notice, he was not appointed high priest to give offerings for the Amalekites or for the Canaanites, but for the Jews. All of the rest of them, he was not offering sacrifices for any of the others there, but for the Jews. He was called to offer sacrifices for the Jews only. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And that verse is quoting Psalms 2:7. It says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And that word decree, it's an enactment. It is an appointment. It's an ordinance or a law. This is something that was set into play, that thou art my son. It was something that is like passing a law. It's like putting something into place that's going to stay there and not change. As mentioned here previously, Aaron was made a high priest to the Jews, but Jesus was made a high priest to mankind, the whole human race. Everyone who is predestined to know him by God. Now, that predestined is a tricky term, because some folks say, well, God, everybody's saved. Everybody's not saved. God is every man's creator, but he's not every man's father. He's everybody's creator. That we relate that to everyone in the world. Yes, you're right. We did come from God. All of us did come from God. as our creator, but all of us are not born of God. God is the father of those that know him. And so that's the difference there. And so folks say, well, God loves, and you can hear the Mongols, the music Mongols and folks out there talking about God, and they wear these great big old beautiful golden crosses. And David, this cross ain't going to get you nowhere. This thing is not going to help you unless for a bullet that it catches you or something. But other than that, this thing ain't gonna save you from the divine wrath of God. It won't help you. The Jewish priests fulfilled their requirement by offering animals, but Christ offered himself. He did. He died. He was resurrected. He ascended to heaven. He now serves as the head of the church on earth, and he serves as the high priest, the great high priest in heaven. He's the head of us, the head of the church here, and he's the great high priest in heaven. It's a dualship, and a whole lot more as we know. The death of Jesus proved that the required atonement was made. It proves that the atonement at one meant. At one meant. When you say atonement, at one. At one what? At one with God. Atonement. The atonement was made. In other words, he restored man's fellowship with God. He restored it. As we said earlier, when Adam ate of the fruit and fell, his spirit fell before he had fellowship with God. His spirit fell to the level of his soul, and he lost fellowship with God. Jesus came, saved men, and the spirit is once again elevated to a level where we can now again commune and communicate with God. That's the difference here. We can now commune and communicate with God. Hebrews 5:6 says, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so these are types, of course, that are set for the real that was to come. But where it says thou art a priest forever, here it's talking, it's quoting Psalms 104:10, which says, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We're going to learn more about this Melchizedek as our study deepens. But suffice it to say that the coming of Christ and his completed works established a never-ending high priesthood, seeing that he, unlike the earthly priest, ever lives to make intercession for us. He ever lives to make sacrifice for mankind. He therefore is priest forever. Here, priests have to continue to change because they die. But there, he doesn't die anymore. We're not changing priests. It's one priest, and his name is Jesus. And hey, he is there in heaven, and he is making intercession for us, and he is serving at the heavenly sanctuary, not made with hands, y'all. Everything that we saw on earth, they were types. He told Moses, see, says he, that you assembled everything that I showed you in the mount. Well, it was a heavenly vision that he gave Moses to assemble, and Moses assembled the sanctuary and all of this, but it was simply a blueprint of what really existed in heaven. And so they were antitypical of what was already in heaven waiting for the Messiah to go and to fulfill his office as great high priest. Hebrew 5:7 goes on and says, who in the day of his flesh, talking of Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Listen, nobody has suffered like he suffered as a man. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he agonized and he wept. But he committed himself to do the Father's will. And he accepted that cup of suffering which would bring his death. That was Jesus the man. So we got to remember that it was Jesus the man and Jesus God together. But there was a man part of him, a man part of him. The suffering included bearing the burden and the agony of the fury of God and the fury of his wrath that was to be poured out upon him. a fury and a wrath that should have been poured out on us. But he took that fury and he took that wrath upon himself. I don't know. I've never faced, I've dreaded things like when daddy come home, I'm going to get a whipping or something. That was pretty bad. Because from that point to the end of the day, when daddy's coming home, that clock, even when bad stuff is coming, the clock speeds up. But when it's something good, the clock seems to go slow. And that day, it looked like the clock was speeding up. It was 12 o'clock, and it was 3 o'clock, and it was 5 o'clock. It's like, what's wrong with the clock? My God. And daddy come, I used to go and greet him and hug him. When daddy come, nowhere to be seen. I'm under the bed somewhere hiding, hoping mama would get amnesia, but she didn't get amnesia. That's the fury that I know. I know that was coming. But we don't know the fury that he knew that was coming, because he was God. And he knew what was coming. He knew the wrath was coming. And I mean, he was trying to get this cup. The physical man was trying to get this cup. He wasn't trying to get out of dying. He was trying to get released from death. Mm-hmm. Psalm 16:10-11 says, May it intimate that Jesus was praying not to be saved again from dying, but to be saved from death and to be resurrected from the dead. For thou, it says, Psalm 16:10 says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That means the grave. That's the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, which is where he went when he was ascended, there is pleasures evermore. And so he was praying. Him, the man Jesus, was praying to be delivered from death. Because, listen, death reigned from Adam to Moses. That's what it says in Romans. Death reigned. That means every man that died was deposited in a thing or a place called death. Jesus went into death to deliver them that had been imprisoned by death. And he also went in to destroy him who had the power of death. Not that he had the power to cause man to die, but it is through him that death entered in. And he went in to destroy him, and that would be Satan. He destroyed Satan. He did not annihilate him, because we can look and see that he's still active in the world, but he stripped him of his power and authority. Now, his power and authority is not over you and me if you know Jesus. But I can tell you, you go and poke somebody the wrong way, you're going to see that Satan still has power and authority over these people. Those snap tempers and ready to kill you in a half minute. You used to be a man, two men could get in a fist fight and go out and have beers together. Man, that was a good time. Man, a right cross. Man, you wallop a kick, man. I said, yeah, well, you did pretty good yourself, right? But man, you embarrass a man in the street. He's coming back with a gun. He will say, let's fight this, you and your family. Men aren't the same anymore. Satan has taken over these men. And there's only one deliverance from them, and his name is? Amen. There's only one deliverance from them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of us have been there. Amen. Come on now. Don't get holy on me, not cozy. Some of us have been there. I mentioned last week, I was wondering if my father knew that his 6 or 7 year old son was plotting to kill him. Well, he kept hitting my mom. You can't be doing that. God, amen. I wouldn't say. I didn't go through with it. Amen. I wonder if she ever told him. Anyway, Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He didn't have to learn obedience as though there was something wrong. There's nothing wrong or something that needed to be corrected in him. But to prove his humanity and to experience suffering to the fullest. No one has ever suffered like Jesus suffered. And y'all listen, I'm not just talking about physically on the cross. There was some suffering that went on before the cross. He bled through his pores. It says that the sweat was as drops of blood falling to the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. That is a high stress situation. And doctors tell us about high stress situations that will cause the capillaries to break and will cause blood to mix with sweat. And if you see, you think the person is bleeding through their pores. That is a high-stress situation. I don't hear of those often. But that's the kind of stress. And imagine him seeing, which no one ever saw but him, the kinds of things that he had to endure in the spirit area for us, for you and me. The suffering, and we have to learn to appreciate the suffering that he did. Verse 9 says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Having done, that is, having done or fulfilled everything by dying, by rising from the dead, which indicates that he obtained the goal. He obtained the goal. When he said on the cross, it's finished, he had done that part of the work and there was a little more to do. Christ has brought men to by his blood and he's purchased them to receive a glorious end. There's a glorious end coming for us, saints. It's a wonderful end that's coming for us. In order to be prepared for it, this is what the sinner must do through the grace of God. This is salvation. Repent. Repent and turn from sin. That's the first thing. Some folks say, I joined the church today and Wednesday. You still find them back in the same place they were before they joined the church. You didn't repent. Repent is to turn. To turn from. Now granted, you can't turn from it on your own. I know many days I was going to go to church tomorrow morning. And instead I went to beer or drink or something. But I couldn't do it. But you need to realize this and say, okay, it's time for a change. I need to change. As soon as you make that, as soon as you repent, and it's a real repentance in the heart, God comes, he begins to help you. And then you repent, and then you begin to turn from your sin. Will you never sin again? I doubt that. But I tell you what, the more you resist it, the more you get away from it, the less and less power it has in your life. If you're used to having something every Monday morning, you say, I got to have it, I got to have it. I know I got to have it. Well, wait till Monday afternoon. And then wait till Monday night. And then wait till Tuesday morning. Put more space, more space, more space, more space, more space, more space. And after a while, you'll be living without it. Now, hey, you know that an alcoholic will die if you take his alcohol from him just like that? They'll go to the DT. They will die. They will, typically. They will die. Die. Die dead. You see, unless they get a miracle from God, they will die. You can't go mama's enough. You can't drink no more. I'm going to take this gin from you, and you take it and pour it down the drain. You better get some quick, because your mama getting ready to go into the DTs. And if you're not careful, your mother will pass away. Amen now. Okay. It's kind of called a common sense kind of a thing, right? I mean, I love to be pure and holy and all of this, but listen, I didn't completely walk out of everything when I got saved. There were still a few things that I walked back into. Come on now, y'all. Y'all didn't do that? That's not, y'all don't relate to that? I get it. That was that holy silence. That's that holy silence. That's all right. You're human. This is what you get. You repent, then you believe on Jesus as being the sufficient reason and the sufficient sacrifice for the soul. You got to accept that. That's what you believe. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you begin to work together with him. Listen, the first work needs to be done on you. Before you're going to go out there and save everybody and help everybody, first of all, the work needs to be done on you. You can't help me if you haven't been helped yourself. How are you going to let me out of a cell that me and you both in and you don't have a key? I like you, man. I like you, brother. I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to say, you're going to say, well, you got a key? Well, I ain't got no key, but well, you ain't can't help me then. You need to be on the other side over there and telling me how to get out of this cell. Amen? It's gotta be on you first. And we have to walk in conformity with the divine will of God through Jesus. And that will is, of course, expressed in his word. And continue faithful, listen, all the way into death. For the rest of your life, continue walking and believing and trusting him. And receiving grace by grace by grace by grace. and continue all the way until you die. Verse 10 of Hebrews 5 says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so the word here when he says called is like if you call someone by their particular name. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, the writer says, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So now he's stating that the subject of Melchizedek is difficult to discuss, even more difficult to understand. And so a familiarity with the scriptures is necessary in order to comprehend these deeper matters of the Word of God. Really, you have to have a familiarity. That means you spend time in the Word of God. Yeah, I'm always saying, read the scriptures, go to the scriptures. What does God's Word say? Find out from God. Ask God. The best one you can ask is Him. I'll try to help you the best that I can, but the best one you can ask is Him. And become familiar with the scriptures. It means that the hearer must have a good history of study in the Word. Yep, next week, I want you to read the next chapter in Hebrews now contemplate it, because we're getting ready to wade out into some deeper waters here with this thing. And pray for me as we do. Amen. Verse 12 says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, it's funny, you know, I meet people and I'll say something to them and they say, well, I don't know, I'm a baby Christian. Well, I say, well, how long you been saved? 4 years? 4 years? I don't buy them, but 4 years is an awful long time to be considering yourself a baby Christian. 4 years is plenty of time for you to be familiar enough with the Word that you won't say I'm a baby Christian anymore. What they mean is I'm ignorant of the Word. They mean I still don't know the Word. I still don't understand the Word. Well, that's very sad. See? And Paul is saying here that this is the case. Here in Hebrews 6, our next chapter says in Hebrews 6, 1, you can look if you want. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Let us go on of the doctrine of baptism. These are the basic doctrines, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And so, that church is still falling out about laying on of hands. They're still fighting about it. They're still fighting about baptisms. Why are you fighting about baptism? And that should have been settled at the very beginning of your salvation. But they're still fighting about these things, about the resurrection of the dead. What's that a fight about the resurrection of the dead? Jesus rose from the dead. He's going to bring us out of the grave. There's nothing to fight about. But folks are still going, eternal judgment. Oh, there's one coming. What's that a fight about? There's a judgment coming. Amen. We either have the white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ. If you're in Christ, thank God you have the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not in Christ, there comes the white throne judgment. It's as simple as that. You know, falling out about it. Apparently, the believers that he was talking about had been Christians for many years, which had been plenty of time for them to become familiar with the divine things, but they didn't. And so he was talking to them. Now, Hebrews 5 and 13, it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. He classifies these Hebrew believers by their familiarity or lack of familiarity to the word of righteousness. That means the good news. That means the gospel truths. Because of their lack, he calls them babies. They are not able to teach because of their lack of knowledge and experience in the word. They can't help anyone else. Listen, you should at least be able to say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, somebody asks you about Jesus, and you go, well, I don't know, I can't say a whole lot. At least you should be able to quote John 3:16. But what I can tell you about Jesus is this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. They say, well, what that mean? You say, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Give it to him. Listen, you're not the teacher. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. And if they've got a heart to hear the gospel, they'll be able to hear that. Something will click inside of them and they say, well, how can I find out more? You say, well, come on, go with me, or I'll call you back, or I'll be back in a minute or something. Find something for them. But just quoting that will start weeding out. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to tell them about the 10 fingers and the 10 toes on Daniel's image and the beast and all of this that they got in Revelation. You don't have to do all of that. Just a simple presentation of the gospel. All I know is this. Like the man said, all I know, well, he's the devil or not, well, all I know is this. I was blind, but now I see. And all of us can say that. I was blind, but not. Go ahead and say it. I was blind, but now I see. I know it. We were blind. We were. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, the Apostle Paul uses the wording which sheds some light on the use of this word milk. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for wherein there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And so he's calling those that walk as men and not according to the word carnal. They are entertaining and they're making their decisions and they're making their judgment from a carnal standpoint, from a carnal viewpoint, a worldly kind of viewpoint. Listen, you got something that you need a decision on or something you need to do, ask the Lord first. Ask him, Lord, what should I do? It only takes just a second or two. What should I do? And again, as we said earlier, when you pray, you not only speak, you also listen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so when we ask by faith, believing that we will receive an answer. If you ask him, you don't just pray, so I'm just praying because I'm supposed to pray. What's that? That's vain repetition. Praying because I ought to pray. Well, I've done my thing. I got the scale tilted a little bit more this way. That's nothing. That gets you nothing. When you talk to him, and that's prayer, when you talk to him, you pause and wait before you go and cook your oatmeal or whatever you're going to do. You pause and wait. And then say, well, okay, Lord, I'm going to go cook some oatmeal. I hadn't heard anything, but I'll be listening. And you keep your ear open because your child might come in and speak the answer to you. They won't even know this. They're doing it. Or something might come on the TV and you go, what? And you try to tell everybody about it. Nobody won't know nothing but you. He will answer you. He will answer you. Talking about milk. Verse 14 of Hebrews 5. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Strong meat is the high and the sublime doctrines of Christianity. What is that? The atonement. Oneness. Justification by faith. Oh, we are justified by faith. I mean, I can't see it. Yesterday, I didn't feel justified by faith, but I'm so glad that I am justified by faith. The gift of the Holy Ghost, that's the higher, the meaty things, the fullness of Christ dwelling in the souls of men, the fullness of Christ, that's the meaty part, the triumph over death, that's what we have, triumph over death. Listen, death at the end and death as it presents itself during the course of our lifetime. Her death is constantly there somewhere, lurking somewhere. The resurrection of the body, the media thing. The glorification of both body and soul in the realms of blessedness
glorification. We're going to be changed one day. We're going to be just like him. Oh, my goodness. We're going to be like him. Amen. I understand the silence because, you know, we're still kind of working out what that means. But I can tell you this is good. It's better than anything that we can even imagine. It's better than anything we can ever develop on our own. And then it's the endless union with Christ in the throne of glory. And folks say, what are we going to do in heaven? We're just going to sit around and sing all day and watch the angels fly around? So you're looking at that from a carnal viewpoint. You won't waste time in heaven because there's no time in heaven. It's a whole nother dimension here. It's not the one that we're strapped with here. I mean, I sit down for 15. Sometimes you want to go somewhere with the car and stuff, and I say, well, hurry back. Well, 15 minutes, you ain't hurrying back. But 15 minutes is a short period of time. But 15 minutes is too long. So time is something that we grapple with. Amen. But number one, in heaven, time is not going to be an issue. That's just one thing. We're going to be like him. And so, I mean, you know, this thing here causes us to not be able to see that far and to comprehend that far. But I can tell you, this thing here is going to be changed. If we die before he comes, he's going to bring us back with him and pick this old body up. It's going to be changed to be just like his body. He was walking through walls and showing up and disappearing and reappearing and disguising himself and talking to people. They didn't see him, and they could recognize who he was after he said or did a certain thing. It was the Lord, and he vanishes before their sight. You kidding? That's just something he did on this earth. Listen, are there shadows in heaven? I don't think there are, because the Lamb is the light thereof, and the light is everywhere. I was sitting looking one time at my shadow on the ground, and I came up with this thought. I say there's a shadow there because the light is coming from this way, and there's not any light down there. But in heaven, the light is all-encompassing. It's everywhere. It's above, it's beneath, it's everywhere. The whole, everything is full of that light. It's not a place where that light isn't. There are no shadows there. That's another dimensional thing. I mean, if we just sit and think, whatever we have, you cannot expect to see it there. There are no shadows. There's no time. There's no space. Music. Colors. The music. Okay. Strong food, brothers and sisters, strong food. Listen, we've got something to look forward to. We really do. And I tell you, you know, I was rushing in like, Lord, I'd be glad to get over with this thing. I'd be glad when I get to come home and be with you. And he eventually got me to see. He said, please stop doing that. It'll be over soon enough. That's what he said. It'll be over soon enough. I said, okay, well, I will just do the work until it's time. But I still want to go home. I really do. But I'll do the work. Into this time. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The best way to exercise our spiritual senses is to obey the word of God and the inward direction of the Spirit of God. That's the best way to have your senses, your spiritual senses now, your spiritual senses. I mean, God speaks to us all the time. God doesn't stop speaking. And he speaks to his children, and he gives us direction all of the time. And we still find ourselves in trouble and in bad situations. We wonder why, how did this happen? It's because you didn't listen. He gives you direction. He says, don't go. Don't do it. I've been in traffic, and I've heard, turn right here. Well, I'm turning right. Don't go, stop and go in here and do this. I'm stopping, I'm going in here and do this. Either there's someone in there to be blessed or to bless me, or there's something ahead that I need to miss. I have no idea. But listen, you belong to him, and he can speak to you because your spirit is alive to him. So your senses can be exercised. And after a while, you get used to doing it, used to doing it. And sometimes I'll be sitting up and start talking about something, and it'll be something that's going on in your life. And she'll come unglued in that chair. She, amen, amen, amen. I don't know what I'm saying, but she knows that God is speaking to her and talking about something, and it'll be something in you. Something in you. That's God speaking to you, not me. I don't, if you don't tell me, I have no idea what he's doing. But he does speak, and he does exercise our senses in that way by being familiar with his word and cooperating with his spirit. Amen. Read Hebrews 6 for next week, and we'll come back and do the best we can. Well, Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for sending us to the book of Hebrews. What a challenging study it is. But we know, Lord, this is something that you desire and you have your designs on. Lord, I thank you for those that came today, Lord. I pray that when they leave this place, that they will take some good word that they've heard from you with them. Father, may their lives never be the same because of the truth that you've shared to their hearts today. Bless them, Lord, and we thank you in the name of Jesus.